humility. Now the donkey on which he is riding also was thinking. The donkey thought, finally someone sees my true value. And they are throwing flowers at me. They are fanning me. In other towns, I'm just seen as a donkey, as if I didn't know anything. But here in Jerusalem, I'm worshipped. This is very appropriate and very correct. So I think very much in spiritual circles, we are honoring older devotees, we are honoring devotees who do special services. We are very accommodating. Now this is necessary for us, but for a devotee who is honored like this, he should not think, yes, finally someone knows how important I really am. If he does so, he turns into a donkey. So this is the little story I wanted to tell. In spiritual life, as we will see, it is very important that you go always through the essence. But before the essence, your ego will be there. It will stand guard and it will keep you from getting to the essence. You must go through the illusions of the ego, where you think you are important, where you are thinking you are someone who needs to be respected. And then when you can go and pass this centennial, this God, you can enter the kingdom of real Krishna conscious experiences. So this is something I wanted to share with you. Now I want to invite a special guest who's only here for how many more days? Tomorrow, actually, and then you have to go. I want to invite our Manu, who has done a wonderful service for the Radhadish community by making every evening a kirtan for the deities. I want Manu to come and sing here. He's one of my favorite kirtan leaders. So please sit here, Manu, that we can all see you. And
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Amen. Vishnupadaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadishatadine Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prachari Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama, Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama, Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare Let's try it one more time, everyone.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Asked me just to share a few words just about Radish, and for all of you that at least haven't experienced yet, the festival we do usually every year in January and of the year, to warmly invite all of you to partake. It's one of the bigger Kirtan festivals, at least, that happens in Western Europe. With at least before COVID, we had about 1,500 people coming over, trying to fit in a space which I think is half the size of this room, and even less than half the size, I don't know. But somehow everyone gets to be there for quite some time in Kirtan, and the mood is particularly powerful because the eagerness is more present than almost in any other program that most people attend. So it's something to experience, even if it is one time, and even if you're not so used to crowds anymore, I would say whenever the opportunity comes again for the festival to take place, which we hope will be in January again this year, to please attend. And aside of that, one of the reasons I cannot stay longer is because we also have our Kirtan course that's going on. And it's a one-month course that started exactly last week. And just to say, for anyone that has particular desire to progress or to do something more with Kirtan, they're more than invited to come for this course where Marge is overseeing and one of the main teachers. And it's a very practical course. Also, Badahari Prabhu attended and assisted 2 summers ago, if I'm not mistaken. And it's a wonderful occasion also to be part of the Radish community. And as Marge mentioned, we do every single evening 1 hour Kirtan without fail, I'd like to believe, for nearly 12 years. On Radhasami, it will be 12 years we've been doing so for on 365 days a year. And it creates a momentum inside a community and gives power to a lot of activities. So please feel welcome to come. And if you cannot make it there, no problem. Wherever you are, start every day Kirtan. And you'll see a lot of miracles and a lot of special things will come about when you have just that faith and that dedication to doing it every day. It's my honor to be here, and I thank Marge for inviting me to sing along with everyone. So, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Madam. Krishna, thank you so much. Hare Rama. There is a very important poet in our Vaishnava Sampradaya who has written ample poetry and again highlighted the holy name. His name is Srila Rupa Goswami. And I would like to describe to you poem which particularly raised the attention of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He really appreciated this poem, and he said, two things. Your handwriting is like a row of pearls. I don't know if anyone here has such a beautiful handwriting. Gaur Krishna has a beautiful handwriting, but a row of pearls, that's still some way to go. But more than anything, the poesy was so absolutely astonishing that everyone just appreciated this. So I'm speaking of Srila Rupa Goswami. He had gone to Puri to be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as he was looking for a place to stay, he met upon Haridas Thakur, and Haridas Thakur begged him, "Why don't you stay with me?" So they stayed together, and every day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come by and see these two great stalwarts of bhakti, Haridas Thakur, the great teacher of the holy name, and Srila Rupa Goswami, who is known as the one who could understand the deep taste, the rasa, within the holy name. I will read now from Chaitanya Charitamrita to tell you of this memorable meeting where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Rupa Goswami and was extremely relishing to an extreme degree his writings. And then we will go into Rupa Goswami's writings about the holy name. Because of writing so nicely about the holy name, Ramananda Roy said, "You are the Acharya of the confidential taste of the holy name." So I will start here. Once while Rupa Goswami was writing his literature, all of a sudden, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. Writing books at that time was quite a procedure. You had to find palm leaves and dry them. Then you had to go to various flowers and take their flower petals and other, you know, the pollens, and somehow make a juicy paste out of it, a liquid paste. And then you would take various things. Sometimes it was something from the dry palm leaf, and you would dunk it into this flower liquid, and then you would write. With such a procedure, you can imagine you would meditate about every word. It had to be just right. There was no computer function, erase it and do something new. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to see how is Rupa Goswami writing his books. And when he arrived, Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami both stood up and paid their dandavat pranams to him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, however, immediately came to the point and said, "Rupa Goswami, tell me, what book are you writing at this moment?" And then he just took one of the palm leaves which had a newly written text. And the moment he read this text, he was overwhelmed with ecstatic love. He couldn't speak. The text was immediately touching his heart so much that he couldn't speak. He came the next day and he brought some more devotees with him. At that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Rupa Goswami, "My dear Rupa Goswami, can you please recite that special text, you know, which had made the Lord cry in ecstasy, from yesterday? Can you please find this text and just read it out loud to us?" I personally think that anyone who hears this text will lose all his unhappiness and lamentation. I see some of you have still unhappiness in their faces, so I think it's a good beginning of a seminar, no? No more unhappiness and lamentation. This is a good program, Kishori, isn't it? We must hear this text. So he then, Rupa Goswami then started to sing in a beautiful voice. The text, tunde tunde tandava niratim vitanute tundavali laptaye kana kroda kadambini gatayate kana bude pyas priham cheta prangana sangini vijayate Savindriyanam kritim No jane janita kiyat biamritai krishne divarna dvayi. I do not know how much nectar the two syllables krishna have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. Wow, a name that dances in the mouth. We then desire many, many mouths. When that name enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses became inert. When the devotees heard this verse, they couldn't respond immediately. They were struck with wonder, and only after some time they started to talk and say, this is the best description of what happens for the holy name. Now, when Haridas Thakur heard the verse, he started to dance on the spot. He was just so happy because he felt now he knew everything about the chanting. Let us quickly go through the various stations. So the holy name comes from somewhere and enters the tongue. Then from there it makes a journey. The first station is the ears, but the more important station, which all bona fide chanters must know, it travels from the ears to a place which is described here to be a courtyard, that is a protected area within other houses where very confidential private exchanges can take place. It's the courtyard of the heart, or the sacred space of the heart. This is very important for us to know. First of all, the holy name is not produced by the tongue. It comes from the spiritual world. It goes on the tongue and from there through the ear to the heart. Sometimes it is also described that the holy name first goes to the heart, then it comes on the tongue, then it comes on the ears, and then it comes in the courtyard of the heart. My point here is, it's not my point, it's Rupa Goswami's point. The holy name should go deep enough that it really is in the courtyard of the heart. I will do a little meditation with you where I pray that I can open that door and you can then go inside your own courtyard of the heart. I think we all have experienced this place already, but it's nice to visit it, and it's even better to reside in that place always. So yes, that will be the exercise which we do in a little time from here, but I would like to talk about another poem which will take most of our attention during this seminar and the following ones. He wrote additionally many prayers, and one of them is the prayer Namashtakam. It's 8 prayers to the holy name. Now, his poetic genius was such that he wrote each prayer in a certain female meter. Meters are female. For instance, the meter which you heard now, tondit tanda veniratim vitanute tondavali laptaye, would be translated into German, der schlendernde Tiger. It's or better, tigress. What it means is a tigress will at times meander. Meander means it goes left and right, a little like a river, will, or like a drunken elephant, you know, it will go. It means it's a very powerful meter, but it is also very playful at the same time. He wrote, in a, each verse is sung in a different tune, a different meter, because Rupa Goswami had an idea. Krishna's in the center, and my eight verses, who are feminine in nature, should be like the eight gopis who serve Krishna, who's in the center. Beautiful, no? Each meter is like a beautiful lady. Like one meter is called the flower-bearing lady, the florist, and very beautiful. I've written it down, each meter. How I may not be able to chant it very beautiful with my frog-like voice, but we will try. So these verses were for some time forgotten, but then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, first Jiva Goswami found them, then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur found them, and after some time, Baladev Vidya Bhushana, the disciple of Vidya, of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the Shiksha disciple, wrote beautiful commentaries about this. Now, I should, before we get into the scripture, tell you a little bit about sacred scriptures. They are extremely important for our growth in spiritual knowledge. They are written in an ecstatic mood by these highly realized souls who have put their mood and their points into this sacred scripture. And they are meant, these sacred scriptures, that you have an active exchange with them. I would like to give you an example. Sanatan Goswami had written a book called Krishna Lila Stava. And it is a book which is full of 108 obeisances to Krishna. You read a few verses, and then you make an obeisance. And if you are through the book, you have done 108 obeisances. It's really a prayer manual where prayer and obeisances are properly connected. We have a very good translation of this book. But for a long time, my dear devotees, it was known that there was such a powerful book, but no one had ever seen it. 400 years, Vaishnavas looked for the book, and one day, one Vaishnava, Haridas is his name, a very humble scholar, was sitting at the Yamuna, and he was crying, I want to find this book from Sanatan Goswami, the Vaishnava world, but really learn so much. Maybe we should do this. Maybe we should do one. Maybe tomorrow I give you a taste. We will hear a few verses, meditate about them, and then we will lie on the ground. I did this one once in Vrindavan, a workshop on that, where we meditated about the verses, and then we paid our obeisances right into the dust of Braj. No one was paying his obeisances on the carpet. No, it had to be the dust. It was a really experiential workshop. Anyway, so this devotee is there at the Yamuna. Oh, I need to find Krishna, Krishna, give me the Krishna Lila Stava. And all of a sudden, because his prayer is so genuine, he feels how the book begins to interact with him. A moment later, he sees in the Yamuna a bundle. It's a cloth bundle. Something is in there, and it drifts down the Yamuna. So he follows in little impulse. And if you ever are in Vrindavan and you see a cloth bundle drifting down, get it. So he went into the Yamuna. He got the cloth bundle and he brought it on the shore. And when he opened the cloth bundle, he saw a palm leaf manuscript inside. And what was amazing is that the water had somehow spared these pages. Don't ask me how. It is a shastra. It is something, the living word sacred word. And as he read it, he thought, my God, this is the Krishna Lila Stava, which was lost for 400 years. And it's really a treasure of Vaishnav literature. So all Vaishnav literature, when you learn to interact with the scripture in the proper way, then it begins to speak to you. The Padma Purana describes a few items, how you should react with the scripture. First of all, you should make an obeisance to the scripture as if it is a living person. That's why before we read this Bhagavatam, we always say, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. It is absolutely necessary so that the scripture reveals itself. Then you should listen in an absolutely receptive mood, that you want to learn now something which you don't know. If you don't have this mindset, my dear devotees, if you think, oh, I just need to read, and you dutifully turn the pages, it won't get inside the heart. So you must, after paying obeisances, be very eager to learn. Then, there was one other point. You should never criticize the scripture if you don't understand. It's almost, you know, we are like ants. If an ant doesn't understand this tape recorder here, it's not even a tape recorder. It's a, how do you call these things? MP3 recorder? Audio recorder. Yeah, but it is something very... Already, it the machines don't like me. It was flickering the moment. It hopefully doesn't jump on my throat the next moment. So, anyways, if you... the point which I wanted to say, the scriptures are the recorded words of sadhus. And if you don't understand it, don't despair. It's like an ant who comes here and wants to understand the tape recorder. There, it's not even a tape recorder, this audio recorder. How can the ant expect to understand it? But in our case, when we read it, although we don't understand it, we will be purified and very soon come to understand if we serve the Shastra. If we serve it, that's the last point. Serve means you hear there, you hear like a servant, you let it come in, and you hear the orders of the scriptures and or the instructions, and you follow them. And then you are there. The scriptures will reveal themselves. So I hope that we get a lot of revelation in this seminar where we try all these points. This prayer of Rupa Goswami, the Namastakam, was put by Jiva Goswami in a prayer collection called Stava Mala. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur found this prayer and he printed it and distributed it all over his Namhata centers. It became the prayer for all those who wanted to chant in sincerity. And the prayer starts with a little intro. Sri Krishna Namne Namo Namaha. I pay my obeisances to the name of Krishna. Valadev Vidyabhushana says, the Vedas declare that if you chant the name, you will be liberated from the material existence. But I don't want liberation. I want something totally different. Please, my Lord, when I read these prayers, I want to have devotion for you, nothing more. So this is something about the prayer. So now we will hear the prayer. Would you like to hear the first verse? This was a polite agreement, not a very eager one. The first, this prayer is like, you remember, it was like a gopi standing around the name of Krishna. And the name of this prayer is Spring Jasmine. We have in this world the name for someone, Jasmine, Jasmine, Jasminka, I think, in Serbian language. So this is the Spring Jasmine. Nikila Shruti Mulirat Namala Jyoti Nirajita Pada Pankajanta Ayi Mukta Kule Upasyamanam Paritastvam Harinama Sankshayami. O merciful Harinam, O Lord, the toenails of whose lotus feet are offered worship in the form of the Upanishads, which are like a jeweled necklace forming the crown of the Vedas. I take complete shelter of you, the Lord worshipable by hosts of liberated souls. I admit, after breakfast, this is a hard nut to swallow. Let me take this verse for you and spread it out a little bit. Rupa Goswami here invokes an image. The Vedic scriptures are standing before the holy name. They take an aratic lamp into their hands with 10 individual flames, and they offer an aratic to the lotus feet of the holy name. What this means really is that the holy name is a person. Only a person has feet. No, a name has no feet. Oh, Ramananda, your name just walked on special feet by here. That is not happening. No? Only a person has lotus feet. I mean, feet, let's start with feet and then let's see if it's lotus feet. So in this verse, Rupa Goswami says, you are not a combination of syllables. You are the person Krishna, fully standing there, and the Vedic scriptures, who have so many spiritual practices, so much knowledge, so much jnana, and so much calm, and so much wisdom, they stand before you. They acknowledge that you, O Holy Name, are the supreme treasure of the Vedas, and they make an aratik. No? When we want to worship someone as supreme, we would sit him on a seat and offer an aratik as a welcome. We don't have this in our ISKCON society, but I know when I'm in London and I'm visiting certain houses, the Indian residents there will offer me an aratik, and I'm a little bit, oh Krishna, a little bit shy to accept, but that's the tradition. A higher person is greeted with an aratik. And as the light of the aratik lamp goes around the body of the person, it is meant to destroy all the inauspiciousness which is around it. Did you know when we offer aratik to Gonitai, we take all the inauspiciousness which might be there by the conditioned souls. We want to burn it away so that our Lord is not encumbered. So, what is the special characteristics of the Holy Name? That those who are already liberated, those who are already there, glorify the name with, and the Sama hymns chant the name constantly. Now, I would like to tell you a little story, because some of you look so miserable and tired that I need to do something for you today, which is about the power of a name. So once Krishna had an appointment with Srimati Radharani. But it was a stormy night. It was very dark. And when Krishna arrived at the appointed time in a little enclosure of trees called a kunj, Radha was not yet there. Krishna became very, very restless, because he feared that Radha would not find her way. But so he sat down and went into meditation. And in his meditation, he saw the toenails of Radha like gleaming like moons. So he understood Radha has these toenails which act like torch lights in the night. So she will certainly come. He was hopeful like that. But 1 hour passed, no Radharani. 2 hours, no Radharani. Finally, Krishna became desperate. Now Srimati Radharani was just nearby, and she looked at Krishna, wanting to find out if he really cares for her and not for all the other beautiful gopis in Vrindavan. So she kept herself in the distant. But she sent her little gopi messengers. The little gopis came, and they came into the kunja, the enclosure, and said, "Hey, Syam, why are you crying?" Krishna said, "Is your Radha coming?" "Oh no, Syam, today she cannot come. She is withheld." So at that moment, Krishna took a big, big breath inside. And all of a sudden, he smelled the beautiful fragrance of Radharani, who was just nearby watching all this. And he said, "You're cheating me. Radharani is nearby. I can, a soft breeze who's honest, not like you, has brought the beautiful fragrance of Radha into my nostrils." No, said the gopis, you are fantasizing. The smell comes from our bodies because we have so much association with Radha, who embraces us at times, being so happy with our service. We carry, by association, the fragrance of Radha. You know, the idea is clear. If you would take this cloth, it would smell like Bharati's garland, by association. So we are constantly in association with Radha, therefore we smell like Radha. She cannot come today. So again, Krishna fell in a deep mood of desperation. After some time, he said, is there a way Radha can come? And the beautiful gopis said, think, Siam, is there a way? Radharani was in the meantime enjoying the clever talk of her gopi assistants. And Krishna then said, well, when you chant the name of Radha, Radha is there. Exactly, said the gopis. You know this. When one chants your holy name, you are present. Rupa Goswami had said that in this poem, they didn't say this. So if you chant Radha's name, you are also, Radha is also present. So Krishna immediately had now the way. He was there and he started to chant the japa of Radha. Radha, 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 Radha. Half an hour passed. From time to time, he opened his eyes. No Radharani. Then he said, your mistress has not yet come. I'm chanting the name. Then the gopi said, yes, you chant, but you make so many offenses. Therefore, when you chant with offenses, Radha cannot come. No, this is what offenses do. When you chant with offenses, my dear devotees, Krishna doesn't come. You go to the lectures, you hear Krishna's name is so wonderful, but you feel restless and look all the time on your mobile telephone for the incoming messages. That's at least a little bit more interesting, because there is a block between you and the name, a wall of that you must tear down, that's expected from you. You must remove that wall. So the gopi said, you are chanting, but you are full of offenses. Yes, you are unreliable. You say to Radha, you are coming, but then you're with Chandravali, we know everything. Too much offenses. Now Krishna was really desperate. And he then asked the question, so is there anything which I can do to become free from the offenses? And here is a very beautiful truth which the gopis say. Radharani was starting, it went really intense, this discussion. And she was thinking, what will my gopis now tell Siam? So the gopis said, you must do kirtan. In kirtan, loud kirtan with many others, the offenses are taken away from the heart and then Radha will come. And Krishna took with great, great faith to the kirtan of Radha's name. There are beautiful Radha kirtans, which we will not sing now. And he sang very loudly. The gopis started to join. It became so blissful. And Radharani was standing there nearby, trying to hide. But it was not possible. So she came dancing very beautifully into the Krishna and into Krishna's kirtan. And then the divine couple met. So, yes, singing the names of Krishna brings Krishna. Just like singing the names of Radha brings Radha. And even if you are still disturbed by offenses in your life, don't worry. If you repeatedly sing in kirtan, these offenses will go, and one day you will walk out of kirtan and say, I can leave this habit, I can leave this thing, I leave it behind. The taste of Krishna consciousness is by far superior than licking the honey from the blade. I will stop all this. No, I will stop. And you will get the strength from this. This is how powerful kirtan is. Just wanted to tell this little pastime because it charms the heart very easy. Then the text ends with saying the holy name is not chanted by, it says it positive. It is worshipable by all the liberated souls. They chant the holy name in great, great focus. And Rupa Goswami says, I take shelter under such merciful holy name. So yes, I would like to request all of you now to go with me through a very beautiful exercise where we can take shelter in the holy name. And please remember, it is the greatest treasure of the Vedic scriptures. This holy name is a person. It is there. Sometimes we think, well, when we hear the lotus feet of the holy name, in Vedic language, when you say lotus feet, you mean the whole person. You don't think the lotus feet are amputated from the person. I'm just saying it like this for the Western understanding. And then you take totally shelter. I just want to guide you now into such an exercise. I will need to prepare it a little by leaning over to Gokrishna. So, Gokrishna, what is our melody for this one? Huh? One moment. This is internal discussion. It's not meant for you. It is really my favorite exercise. It is taken out of the Buddha Shruti, where you really get rid of all your designations, the story which you have told yourself so many times about yourself. It is something which is meant to bring you to who you are. May I ask, are you fresh or are you tired? Little tired, no? Yeah, little. Would you like to make a powerful energizing exercise? Yes. Let me see what we will do. First, we need some fresh air here. Yes, good. So this is called Bhastrika Pranayama. You breathe not with your belly, but with here, from here, the ribs up to the collarbone. That's the breathing, where the breathing takes place. And the way you do it is very easy. You go up like this. No, don't do it as of yet. And then these are actually very active exhalation and passive inhalation. So you go up and then you go up. You can join us. try to breathe into the chest, right? And very active exhalation, passive inhalation. It happens by itself. Is it too revolutionary or is it okay? I don't look at you, but I can feel what you are thinking. Don't stop thinking, just breathing. Jai Gopal, you are thinking. This is not good for this exercise. If you have some sweat, this is desired. Okay, now those who are male, put your left hand under your navel and the right hand on top. Those who are ladies, right hand under the navel, left hand on top. And just sense what is going on in the body. Take also a few deep breaths now. Very important. Oxygen. Your brain needs oxygen. Otherwise, you look sleepy or are sleepy. Excellent. Get ready for your second round of Bhastrika Pranayama. Try really to move the energies. Okay, five more. Good. Hands in the same position. Please bring your attention feet, and then move upwards to your knees, to your hip bones, and relax. Bring your awareness to your spine and move up with your awareness from your lower back to your upper back and relax. The chest, relax. The belly, relax. Shoulders, down to the elbows and the hands, relax. Some of you need to relax the shoulders a little bit more. You're carrying a lot. Let them just fall, sink towards the ground. Yes, better. The back of your neck, relax. The back of your head, relax. The top bring your awareness to your eyes, your closed eyes, and relax the eyes. Now bring your attention to your face. Try to relax the muscles under the skin. Try to relax the face which you think you should show to the world. Bring your awareness to the inside of your mouth, the tongue, the mouth cave, the jaws. Relax. Next, bring your attention to your breathing. Inhale and exhale, and know when you inhale that you inhale, and also know and observe when you exhale that you exhale. Let's do this for a little time. Most of our times are spent in relationships to other people, our job or what we do, our service. We live with our plans. All these are not timeless, they are temporary, they are like smoke. For some short time they are there, and then they will simply dissolve, even in this life. But we often allow these relationships to take nearly all of our energy. In bhakti, we try to establish the one relationship with Krishna, who was there with us even before we are born. With Krishna, who will be with us even when we are on our deathbed. We try to enter a relationship with Krishna, who will be with us when we leave our jobs behind, when we leave those who are near and dear behind, and when we travel onwards from this body to the next destination. I request you now that you let everything around you slowly and gently disappear. Maybe for a moment you bring your attention to what is going on in your life. Maybe your relationships, your plans, your services. And then you let it slip away. your job gone. Your important responsibilities gone. Your future desires all gone. Become aware that in your truest being, you are an eternal soul, an eternal servant of Radha and Krishna. It is only due to some misfortune that you are so often absent from that relationship, but is always there. You can turn always at every place and every time to Radha and Krishna, and you are always welcome. Now see in your mind's eye that Radha and Krishna are before you, no one else. You have the opportunity to chant for their pleasure. You can do so in the mood, I surrender to you, Sri Radha Krishna. Whatever is mine is in truth your property. Everything is for your sake. Everything is for your enjoyment. Nothing is meant for my enjoyment. I surrender to you now. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Please sing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
The first verse of the Manashtakam, Namashtakam, starts with a welcome ceremony, a ceremony which is performed by all the wisdom texts of the Vedas. An artik to welcome Krishna. This is how you will start your journey in your chanting. You welcome Krishna. You invite him. You give him the space to be your guest. For this, it's good to take all these things which are just taking up a lot of space out of the mind. So go, please, in your mind before Radha and Krishna and welcome them as you chant in a surrendered mood, if possible. Let us start just now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Please sing, everybody sing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
your heart, what is going on. Instead of looking now outside into the room and seeing the various things in the room, please try to look inside. It's wonderful what you will see. And look in the heart and see, okay, what went on for me. Please start now. Thank you very much. I request you now to turn to your neighbor and do something which is called anumodan, that is sharing a little bit what went on for us. No? Just find someone. Don't think this is not important and you are. It will help you to anchor the experience. But of course, if you need to go, please go by all means. Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna. So, we had a very interesting group, and the group we shared. Sometimes it's not so easy to just go in there. It seems to be our other thoughts, our responsibilities, our just what goes on in our life that is at the moment almost that creates a mental barrier almost so that we can't go deep. My dear devotees, when you do these meditations and it doesn't work, then it's when it will soon start to work. Yes, because you begin to understand, I'm a little helpless here. And you come to a place of humility. You know, my own best kirtan experience was in Mayapur. At that time, I was, so to say, given charge of the kirtan mela. I didn't do so much. There was a good team who did most of it, and so on. And anyways, we had to solve a little problem. So right in the midst of making an arrangement, I looked at the wristwatch and understood, oh no, I'm supposed to be down now and sing kirtan. So I said, sorry, I'm already 1 minute late or so. It's a scandal, they will be waiting for me, then no one knows. They all think, yes, the next kirtan leader is Sachinanda Swami. So I ran down, we were in the Panchatat hall, and with a flying dhoti, I just sat down on the microphone. I don't know who was with me. Yes, in that year, Nimai from London was with me, the harmonium man, and I said, okay, what do we sing? The Russian melody. He knew what the Russian melody meant, what is the tune. And he started, and here I was thinking of the discussion which was going on, and the kirtan was not going anywhere. The violin went totally into not a supportive role, but just did some doodle-doodle-doodle, and so on. It was really painful violin violence. I was nervous, I was, and everyone thinks, yeah, now is a senior devotee, the kirtan should become very ecstatic, Prabhu. But no, I was a labored kirtan. So at that time I thought, well, what to do now? I'm not in the consciousness to lead a kirtan that is inspiring for others. And at that time, my dear devotees, I think that's when the ecstatic kirtan began to happen. I began to pray to Krishna. I said, okay, I will chant now each mantra as an offering to you. I couldn't say loving, a desperate offering. and slowly, I opened my eyes. Everyone was moving, and everyone seemed to be absorbed. And then the dancing started, and nice dancing started. And all the time, I did not really think I was doing anything, because I knew I was distracted, tired from this problem, and which needed to be solved, and I didn't yet really know a solution. I hoped the team would find a solution, but no. Now I was in the state where I said to Krishna, "I can't do this. You please do it." And at that time, I think a real spiritual life starts. It always starts behind the border of the ego, not before the border. When you're still bordered in by the ego, it is not so good. But even if you know all the melodies and you know all the means and techniques, no, it starts when you're really giving up your ego. At least giving up when you're in the process. And good. I thank you very much. Please take the verse with you. It was a welcoming of Krishna, the first verse of this prayer. We learned how the holy name is seen as a person who is offered an arati, a loving arati, by the chanter. It is the holy name is chanted by liberated souls. And we also did a little exercise where we tried to get in connection with Krishna, welcoming Krishna and singing. It was an honor to be in this workshop with you, or how we call it. I would be very happy to see you back whenever the time is. It's on the plan. And I wish you a wonderful, remainder of the day. Please, my dear devotees, take note. When you come into another environment like this, your mind is trying to work all the things. You feel, I have to greet this person, and I can't really feel like smiling at the moment, but if I don't smile, ooh, problem. You are processing a lot. You come out of lockdown, and now you're surrounded with many. Don't be ashamed to take a little gentleman rest or a lady's rest. You can do this in your bed, or nature is also there, in this way, make your life more awake, and you get more. Who's this? And young devotee? No, why not? It's good. He might touch. So. This is the starting of a pujari career. Okay, so Hare Krishna. See you again. Hari Bol.